I will not forget you, for my God, my King. With a thankful heart I bring my offering, and my sacrifices, not what you can give, but what I alone can.
Hey, good evening, Pathway family. It's Matt. I hope everybody had a reasonably happy and good week. Welcome again to Pathway this Sunday evening. It is virtual still, unfortunately, but it is great to be with everybody. You know, I was gonna see if you're like me. You know, we were coming out of last year and into the new year, and there was a lot of excitement about getting 2020 behind us and moving into the new year, and everything would be fresh and new again. And we're 3 weeks in, and it's you know, we're still dealing with a pandemic, and some of the things that I struggle with are still there. But what I have done is I have tried to do a couple different things, and one of them is I've started to take walks in the evening, and my youngest daughter actually turned me on to a particular pastor. He's a podcast that I listen to, or I have been listening to for a few nights now. And this week he's been talking about, you know, big long sermons and things, but the theme has been room to receive, and it's really stuck with me. And the way I've been thinking about this is, am I making room to receive, and what am I receiving? If you're like me, and maybe you are, I can tend to declutter my mind or my life with declutter my mind or my life of something, but then I tend to fill it back up with something else, with a new worry, with a new hang up, with a new fear, with a new anxiety. If you're also like me, I have a mind that tends to race a lot. I'm always on to the next fear or thought or anxiety or worry, or it gets pretty exhausting. And so this idea of room to receive has struck me, in that wouldn't it be nice if I could declutter my mind of some of those things, but allow it to make room for something more positive, or something in my journey and faith and relationship with Jesus Christ and with God. And so one of the things I'm going to continue to try is each day listen to these podcasts, find some others that make me think about my relationship with God, my relationship with faith, my relationship with each other, with you all, with Pathway. Pathway is a place that we share things together that can fill those gaps. We just have to make room to receive. Oftentimes, some of us talk about learning to be loved by God. Are we truly making room to allow that love to come in? It's something that I'm really thinking about a lot right now, and maybe it's something that helps you and helps you think about just being more conscious about making room to receive. So again, welcome tonight. It's going to be great to listen to some more wonderful music and some message and be together. And as always, I pray that we'll be back together in person very, very soon.
Thank you. day is long and the night is yours alone. When you're sure you've had enough of this life,
Pathway. I'm in my office at church. Hope behind me, spelled backwards, but I think you can figure it out. Trying to come in once a week and spend a little time with my staff family. It's it gets lonely out there on the hill sometimes. You need to come in and rub elbows with people you know and love and who love and know you. Hope your week's been good. Wow, it's been a long stretch. This has been a very long stretch. Some of us are getting our vaccines, and that gives us a little glimmer of light. And the winter is not near as severe as we've had in the past, so that's a positive, and it enables you to actually go out for walks and hikes. And I actually read a few pages in a book on my front porch the other day in a sweatshirt and a pair of jeans, and was quite comfortable. Watched the sunset as I read. So there are good things in life right now. People are still good. God is still good. Life is still full of hope. Hope is good. Hope is healing. So I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with porn, overconsumption of alcohol, anger, borderline rage, anxiety, panic attacks, and I've had some pretty severe bouts with depression in the past. Thankfully, a lot of that's under the bridge, but it's part of my story, so I share it. So I'm going to talk to you about trust tonight. We're faced with a great divide in our culture. Nobody wants to talk to anybody. Nobody trusts anybody. I read in one of Brené Brown's books. If you don't read Brené Brown, you need to read her. But I read in one of her books about a debate she had with her husband about whether people were really doing their best or not. And her husband said, yes, he thought they were. He trusted that they were doing their best. And she struggled with that for a while. But then, as she told her story in the book, she came around to trusting that people are actually trying to do their best. And as we're navigating this current national climate, the political, the racial, the COVID, everything, the economic, everything we're facing, this is a pretty key question. Can we trust people that they're trying to do their best? People who don't vote like we do, people who have various opinions other than ours, can we trust them that they're trying to do the best? And one of our problems is that we're living in one giant soupy fog of conspiracy. Life has just become a conspiracy theory. COVID is a plot. Chinese plot, I don't know. The election was rigged. Trump wanted to be king. Democrats are communists. Republicans are all stingy. We're being taken over with blacks and gays and immigrants. Law enforcement's all bad. The news is fake. Rednecks are all racist. The vaccine's going to be microchipped. You want to add to that? I mean, the pile just gets higher and higher, and the fog gets thicker and thicker of all these conspiracy theories. And just if you don't have enough, just go to Facebook or go to any kind of social media on the internet. You'll find some more. And when the old ones get boring, then they come up with new ones. It's kind of hard to catch your breath with the air so poisoned with mistrust. I mean, everywhere you go, blacks don't trust cops. Cops don't trust blacks. Gays don't trust straights. Straights don't trust gays. Democrats and Republicans, no trust. Rich, poor, no trust. White collar, blue collar, no trust. Religious right, religious left, no trust. And after a while, wow, this word behind me, hope, it begins to dwindle, and you think, can we survive this? Are we going to be able to make it through this? And I got to thinking about mistrust, not trust, but mistrust. When mistrust tends to inflame two emotions. It inflames panic, it inflames fear, and it becomes panic. And it inflames frustration and anger till it becomes rage. And when we're panicked and we're enraged, And we let those things begin to shape our decisions. Our decisions are unhealthy. You can't make a good decision when these two emotions are inflamed. You can make a lot of dangerous ones, but you can't make good ones. And when you think about it, when I'm all stirred up, okay, I'm all stirred up. I'm afraid. I mean, like afraid, and I'm enraged. You can't see my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. And when I'm enraged and panicked, I can't see your heart. These emotions are blinding us. We're not able to see the character of the other person's heart. And so they become our enemy. They become a threat to us because we don't know them, and what we don't know threatens us. And so here you have it. But let's just take a step back. I've read several posts here lately that have, kind of said the same thing. But, you know, we're all humans, and we all have the same basic inner needs. We want to be loved. We want to feel safe. We want to feel like our voice is being heard, that we matter, that our opinion, our feelings matter. This is common to all humanity. And Democrats and Republicans may not agree on how to fill that need. Various parts of the church may not agree on how to fill that need. Various races or whatever may not agree how to. You see what I'm saying? We may not always see eye to eye on how to meet those needs. But the needs are common to both of us. And if all I'm seeing is anger and panic in you, I'm never going to see the need of your heart. I'm never going to see that. And so we turn on the TV, we go to the internet, we watch any kind of news feed anywhere, and you see lines of people angry, lined up against each other, shouting, sometimes breaking through barriers and hurting people, and people lose their lives, and bullets get fired, and tear gas gets sprayed, and it just becomes an ugly thing. And so it'd be interesting. There's just paint a scenario, a possibility. Imagine the Proud Boys lined up against Black Lives Matter. Imagine them just a few feet apart, and they're yelling and screaming, and it's escalating, and the anger is worse, and you don't know where this is going to go. And all of a sudden, a little innocent girl, 3-year-old girl, clutching her teddy bear, calling for her mother, goes wandering down the middle of this line. What happens? What happens when she does that? You know, the slogans, the accusations, what happens to them? The atmosphere shifts, and you have to ask why. It's because the child appeals to the better nature of people on both sides. They realize, I have a heart, and this child just touched my heart. And so this child and her need and her feeling afraid and her feeling alone means more to me right now than the thing I was just yelling about, the thing I was angry about. And so, and it would happen on both sides. No matter who you line up, I don't care who it is, right wing, left wing, Republican, Democrat, I don't care who it is, we would find our heart. Why would it take something like that for us to find our heart? Why can't we just find it on a normal day, a 70 degree, 5-mile-an-hour winds day? Why couldn't we find our heart? Why would it take a pathetic little child in trouble? We need to find creative, kind, patient ways to hear each other and see each other's hearts, because it doesn't really matter how you vote. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or straight, white, black, brown, red. It doesn't matter. The thing we have in common is this heart that responds to an innocent child. We need to tap into that. We need to find that heart. And the truth of the matter, it's not a scenario anymore. The truth of the matter is that the future and the health and the well-being of our children depend on us growing up as adults and tapping into this heart that we have. So I guess, I don't know, right after the election, already people are taking sides. Already people are lowering the boom and making ultimatums. Already, here we go. Again, same way it was right after Trump was elected. Same way it was right after Obama was elected. Are we not learning anything? We're still alive. We've survived. Democracy still works. And it doesn't matter who's in office. It the world's not coming to an end. This is not the end of time as we know it. That's another conspiracy theory. It's the second coming. Jesus is coming for sure. No, we got to live tomorrow, and we got to live the next day, and we got to live the next day, and our kids depend on it. So what if you meet somebody of a different stripe, of a different party, of a different denomination, of a different mindset? What if you meet somebody, and instead of looking for reasons to mistrust them, you begin to look for reasons to trust them? They have a heart. They have needs and desires just like you and I have. And when we begin to look for that, we find that in common. And then we can work for a common goal and even share our conflicting ideas on how to reach that goal. But you first have to access the heart and not look at the rage and not look at the panic, but access the heart of the person you're talking with. And you know what? I used to be like Brené Brown and think, no, not everybody's trying their best. I've come around. I think nearly 99.9% of the people you encounter get up every day thinking, wanting, desiring to do their best. They may go about it the most clumsy, awkward, even rude ways, but in their heart of hearts, they want to do good, and they want to leave the world a better place. Look for it. Celebrate it. Speak it out when you see it. It'll make our world a better place. Thanks for spending some time tonight listening. Boy, I want to be back in person. If we had a finish line, we could count the days, but we don't have a finish line. It's a wait-and-see thing. But surely in the next couple months, we're going to be back together, face-to-face, making music, handing out tokens, hugging, sharing food, semi-normal. And we'll actually get to hold hands in a circle and say, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Keep coming back. Don't give up. Keep coming back. God loves you. I love you. I miss you. And we're going to be okay. See you next week.